Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. And I believe that there's probably a bigger crowd this morning than maybe this past week. I know that several have been out of town, and we're thankful to the Lord that He's answered prayers for safe travels. And some of us, of course, it's during that time of the year when there's more of that type of traveling, and we've been gone and we're back, and we're blessed by safe returns, and it's good to see everyone this morning. I appreciate Larry and Matthew preaching in my place last Sunday, and it's certainly good to be back with you. We just sang Faith of Our Fathers. I want us to think this morning about the importance of faithful fathers. I want us to think about the importance of having a God-fearing father in our life. There may not be anything that we can do about that. We may have not had that in our life, or we may have had that missing. But if we can make the changes to have that in our life, we certainly need to do that. I want you to think this evening when you go to bed, later on tonight, you'll go through your routine. We all have our routines that we go through in getting ready for bed. When you go through that routine and you finally lay yourself down, I want you to think about this startling statistic. When you lay your head down, I want you to think about the fact that about 40% of all American children will go to sleep tonight without a father. Now, 40% doesn't translate, so I put the number up there. 24.7 million children. That's just in our nation. That doesn't even include all around the world. When you lay your head down tonight, I want you to think about that. There are going to be 24.7 million children going to sleep somewhere, and that the father will not be in that same place. We have an epidemic with regard to this matter. We have a serious problem on our hands. The increase in the number of fatherless children has risen dramatically in the past 40 years. The statistics have been taken particularly between 1960 and the year 2000. Divorce is up. Children without fathers, that percentage continues to increase. And for whatever reason, we have men begetting children physically but not doing anything after that to care for the child. I want us to turn our attention this morning to Psalm 128. In just a moment, I'd like to read those six verses with you. Psalm 128. What we need today is faithful fathers. And I want us to think this morning about the importance of that. Of course, those of us here this morning who are fathers, this is something that we can certainly think about. But there are those here this morning who are here because of the faith of their fathers. I think about Larry's father, who, for the time that I knew him, had a great impact and influence on my life and certainly on his life, and he's here this morning as a result of that. I think about Matthew and Amanda's father, whom we knew for a short period of time before he was tragically taken away from us, and they are here this morning because of him in part. So it's not just for those of us who are here this morning, it's for those who are here who had that faithful influence in their life. What we need is faithful fathers. When you look at that statistic and you see about 40% of all American children will go to sleep in a home without a father, you're probably thinking people out in the world. And the majority of that is true. Worldly people, non-Christians, people who don't care anything about God. And that's true. But I'm here to tell you this morning that we find some of that even in the Lord's church. We find this even among those who claim to be Christians. In the Lord's church at this very moment, there are men who have left their children. There are men who have divorced their wives. There are men who are contemplating divorces. This is very close to home to me, and it may be to you. We're not talking about something that is just simply out in the world. We're not talking about something that is some hypothetical or philosophical thing, some far away from us. We're talking about things that can happen even in our own families. And for whatever reason, men are choosing not to uphold their responsibility in this matter, to be faithful to God and their family. It may be selfishness. It may be laziness. It may be worldliness. It may be a number of things. But at the end of the day, the man is stepping out of his responsibility and not being faithful. I want a divorce. I want out. I want to leave. I don't want to take care of my children. That's not just out in the world. It's in the Lord's church as well. What the world needs more than ever are men who will be faithful to God and their families. Turn with me to Psalm 128. We talk in our nation, and when you turn on the TV, you'll see in the news and different places where we're trying to discuss in our country what we need most. And there'll be discussions involving economic needs. There'll be discussions talking about military needs with regard to our terrorists and different things like that. There are discussions from Washington and other places with regard to our educational needs, and so things dealing with college loans and other kinds of things like that. And those are important things. But I would put above all of that the need for faithful fathers. In Psalm 128, in verse 1, speaking of the father, speaking of the man, "Blessed is everyone that feareth Jehovah, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth Jehovah. Jehovah bless thee out of Zion, and see thou the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, see thou thy children's children. Peace be upon Israel." Notice in the very first verse of this psalm that the man is fearing God. That's what we need most. Not just talking about it. Not just empty words. Not just occasionally picking up a Bible or attending a church service, but someone who clearly fears God in every aspect of his life, prays to God, and lets God talk to him through His Word. We find in verse 2 that his work will be blessed. We find in verse 3 that his wife and children and family will be blessed. We find in verses 4, 5, and 6 that his religion will be blessed. And then again in verse 4, one that fears Jehovah. What we're lacking in our nation today, and even among some of God's people, is a true fear of God. A respect for God and His Word. What we're thinking about when we're stepping out on our responsibilities is what we want, and my money, and my hobbies, and my job, and the places that I want to go and travel. And as I said earlier, it might be different for different men. I don't know if it's laziness, or selfishness, or worldliness, or all three, or something else. But men have it in their mind that we're going to step out and do what we want, rather than fearing God. We talk about sometimes how that children need to grow up, and that's true. But there's some men who need to grow up. And they need to grow up and grow out of the laziness and the selfishness and the worldliness and whatever characteristic that they might have that is causing them to step out on their responsibilities. What the world needs more than ever is faithful fathers. We need to be like God in heaven. We're going to look this morning at three main points. And we learn how to be a father from God in heaven. First of all, God is a progenitor, which means He gives life. He gives life physically, He created all things, and He gives life spiritually. God is a provider, and God is a protector. As our Father in heaven, we learn this morning from Him in those three areas, and I would like to look at that this morning. First of all, turn back with me to the scripture reading that Shannon had earlier. And I want you to go back and notice something there carefully in the text with regard to giving life. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1, this is the birth of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Did you notice in the scripture reading this morning in verse 1 that we're made in the likeness of God, and then in verse 3 that Adam's children were made in his image? We're made in God's image, verse 1, and our children are made in our image, verse 3. Did you notice that? What that's saying is that all of us have two things. We have in us the image of God, and we have in us the image of our Father. And what I want to point out this morning with regard to faithful fathers is that when we give life to our children, it's not just simply a matter of providing physical life and then walking on. That's what's going on in our country. We're bearing children, we're siring children, as it were, and then we're just walking out. What we need to understand is that that life is in our image, but that life is also in the image of God. And because of that, I have some responsibilities that go beyond just simply bearing children. In verse 3, when Adam had a son named Seth, the scripture says that he was made in his image. You know that all of us bear the image of our father. All four of my children have something in them that look like me in some way. And you can see that in them. You can see in your children the image that is in you physically, and not just physically, but also in your personality. I have in my physical body things that look like my father, and I have in my personality things that I do with my character and my personality that sound just like him. And we all have that with regard to our fathers. That's why in verse 3, when Adam begat a son, he begat him in his own likeness and after his image. Our children look and talk and act like us as fathers. But we need to remember in verse 1 that we're made in the image of God. That's our spiritual side. In our spiritual side, we have, like God, free will. We have the ability to communicate like God does. We have the ability to have a conscience. We have the ability to choose. We have the ability to know right and wrong and those types of things. All of that comes from God, being made in the image of God. And as a father, it goes beyond simply giving physical life, because when we bear children, they are in our image physically, but they are also in the image of God. And we have a responsibility to care for that spiritual side. So, fathers give physical life, but they also are to give spiritual life. Do you remember, turn with me to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, where God knew that Abraham would command his children after him to walk in his ways? What we need today are fathers who will not just give physical life and be proud of the fact that my child looks like me, but understand that that child, being made in the image of God, has a spiritual life that has to be taken care of. And I must give that child his spiritual life as well. There are some fathers missing this morning from church services. There are fathers missing. They're missing in action. They're nowhere to be found. But they're so proud that their child looks like them in some way. They're taking care, they're thinking about the physical life and the physical image, but not the spiritual image. Train up a child in the way that he should go. What is that way? That is God's way, Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 with regard to the matter of the building of the ark. Noah, when he prepared that ark, we find that he was warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear. How did Psalm 128 begin? He who feareth the Lord. That's what we need to get back to. What we find today in our society and among some in the Lord's churches, what I want, There's some things I want to go out and do, and my children are holding me back, and so I want to get out of that relationship. We need to get back to being moved by godly fear. He prepared an ark, but look at it, to the saving of His house. We need to be someone who is not just simply going to give life physically, but give life spiritually and take care of that side of our child that is made in the image of God. We need to be like Abraham, and we need to train up our children and teach them those proper ways. And we may be here this morning because we had a father who did that. Many do not. And what some are not thinking about is, they're not thinking about the fact that when they, well, I want that divorce and I want to get out, they're not thinking how that they're going to rob their children of that great spiritual life that they could be giving them. Now, some children grew up to be faithful and God-fearing in spite of their father who's missing in action. That's true. Because God, through His providence, provides other ways in which those children can be influenced. Maybe the mother continues to take them. Maybe a grandparent steps in and helps out. Maybe a faithful member of the church steps in. And they grow up to become a faithful child of God, but often that is not the case. We are progenitors. That means we give life, not just physically, but we are to be giving life spiritually. And if we haven't been doing that in the past, maybe we're older and maybe we didn't do that when we were supposed to be doing that when our children are home. Now as a father, I'm older in life and I have an opportunity to make some changes, do that. I can make those changes and I can come back and I can be a part of my son's lives or my daughter's lives and I can come back to God and be right. Fathers not only are progenitors, but fathers are also providers. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, we need to be working to take care of our children. Much of what we have in our society with regard to dependence, much of that would be taken care of if we would just simply be responsible and provide for our own. But because we want to go off and gallivant somewhere and have a good time, then somebody else has to raise our children and take care of them. But the Bible way is for me to be a provider. And so Paul says to give diligence, to do your own business, to work with your hands, even as we charged you, that you may walk becomingly toward them that are without and may have need of nothing. If any man will not provide for his own, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, he is worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. We need to work hard and provide for the physical needs of our family. Proverbs chapter 6 talks about going to the ant, thou sluggard, and learn her ways. There's a lot of laziness. There's a lot of selfishness in fathers who just simply will not provide for their own. If they do, it's for their own personal needs. It's so that I can have money to take care of me and what I want to buy and my hobbies and my lifestyle, you see. We need faithful fathers who will get out of themselves and come out of themselves and think about their families. But beyond that, we need to balance that with this part right here. Because we also have in our nation fathers who are great at providing physical needs. In fact, they do that so well that they don't provide for the spiritual needs. I'm working all the time. And I'm working overtime. And I'm working hard. And the first point is valid. We need to work to take care of our food, shelter, and clothing. But we need to be careful not to be doing that so much that we do not provide for our children's spiritual needs. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. We have another thing going on in our country. And that is that fathers, their approach to raising children is, I'll just give them money. I'll just buy them things. I'll just make sure that they've got money. And I'll send them this and I'll send them that. And I'll buy them this and I'll buy them that. But we need to also be providing for their spiritual needs. That is, training them to have the right kind of values and talking with them about what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, and their morals, and helping them to build young, godly character and the right attitude. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture. That means to bring them up, to grow them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord, how the Lord would want them to be raised. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul is describing his work of preaching among the Thessalonians, but he compares it to a father. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 10, "You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and righteously and unblameably we behaved ourselves toward you that believe, as you know how we dealt with each one of you as a father with his own children." Now then look at it. "Exhorting you and encouraging you and testifying to the end that you should walk worthily of God." That's what a father is. He's got to be in there. Exhorting, encouraging, and testifying or teaching. And I did that as a father does a child. He's assuming in verse 11 a godly father, because there's a lot of fathers that aren't doing that. He's assuming the right kind of father as a father with his own children. Well, it's assumed that as a righteous father does this. Well, how? Exhorting, encouraging, testifying. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12. Sometimes that involves the negative. Sometimes that involves correction. And it's because we're trying to mold and make that value and character. And sometimes that involves bending and changing the course and steering. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12, it's quoted in Hebrews 12 verse 9. Proverbs 3 verse 12, "For whom Jehovah loveth, he reproveth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." There's going to be some reproof from time to time, and that's negative. Sometimes that's words. Sometimes that might be corporal punishment. And the Proverbs talk about the rod of reproof giveth instruction. It's all to mold and make those necessary values. But not just that. There's another area that sometimes we don't think about. And that is that we need to be providing for our children's emotional needs. Well, I work hard and I clothe them. And I take them to church. Well, there are some other things. In Psalm 103 and verse 13, Psalm 103 and verse 13, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so Jehovah pitieth them that fear him." Well, why is a father pitying children? He's concerned about their well-being, and he has some pity and mercy and compassion. He wants them to be able to make it through whatever they're going through. And so we have to talk with them and work with them so that their emotional needs are taken care of. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, turn with me there. "We are not to provoke a child to wrath. Fathers, provoke not your children, that they be not discouraged." We have to provide for their emotional needs. We have to make sure that they're not discouraged, but encouraged. 1 Thessalonians 2. So we're going to talk with them about what they need in life to have the right emotional attitude. One of our problems in our country is that, well, you know, I'm not completely out of the loop. I send them money. You know, we have this child support. Well, that may be taking care of their physical needs, but you're not there to take care of their spiritual needs, and you're not there to take care of their emotional needs. And our children go through stages when they're children, and when they're teenagers, and when they're college age, and they need different things during those ages. The verse here is not talking about when you ask your child to do something and they don't want to do it, and, you know, don't provoke them. It's talking about living in such a way that you're discouraging them. That may be living a hypocritical lifestyle. That may be telling them to do one thing and then you change it. That may be never rewarding them. It may be in a number of different ways. You're not helping them emotionally. The Ephesians passage says, "Do not provoke them to wrath." The Colossians passage says, "Do not provoke them that they be not discouraged." This deals with emotions. And so our children need all of these things. Well, I'm a man, you know, I don't get into emotions. I'm the worker in the family, and I don't do the emotional thing. That's what the wife is for. I need to be thinking about their emotional needs. And that means communicating with them, being with them, talking with them. And then last of all, fathers are protectors. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Do you remember when Jesus was talking about prayer? The context here is prayer. But there's an interesting statement that is made that we can draw a conclusion from with regard to how a father takes care of his children. The context here is that if you ask, it will be given. If you seek, you'll find, and so forth. Knock, and it will be opened. And so he gives this illustration of a child asking his father, "And which of you that is a father shall his son ask a loaf, and he give him a stone? Or a fish, and he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, he will give him a scorpion?" As a father, we're not going to do anything to hurt our children. We're not going to give them things that are going to hurt them. Well, the implication is we're going to protect them. We need to be protecting against physical harm. We need to be protectors. We need to be there to watch over them and help them. And guide them safely through life. And we're not going to give them something that's going to physically harm them. But in addition to that, we're going to protect them against spiritual harm as well. You know the old scenario that you see a lot about where the girl brings the boyfriend home and there's the dad standing there with the shotgun, you know. But where does that come from? Well, a little bit of that comes from the idea that we want to make sure that there is purity in that relationship and don't do anything to harm that. We want to protect against spiritual harm. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. When we speak about things of this world, we're not just simply trying to make our children have a miserable life. We're trying to protect them. And sometimes, you know, it's not just simply hypotheticals. We're actually speaking from experience. We did that very thing. When we're saying to the child, "Don't do this," it's because we did that very thing. And we know the harm that it can cause. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." In other words, don't go with them. Why is he saying that? He's trying to protect him. He's trying to protect him from physical harm. And so when we have some rules and we make some statements, "Oh, Dad, come on." It's not simply because as a dad that day we're supposed to make up some rules. We know that there's harm out there. There's harm and danger. That which will cause us to sin and be lost spiritually. And we want our sons and daughters to stay away from that. Verse 15, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Turn with me to chapter 5 and verse 20. This is regarding sexual immorality. "For why shouldest you, my son, be ravaged with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a foreigner?" So when we have discussions with regard to going out on a date and other kinds of things that can harm us, we're just simply trying to protect them. We've lived a few years, and in some cases, maybe we've done these very things. And we know the harm in it. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 21. "My son, fear thou Jehovah and the king, and company not with them that are given to change." Don't go out and be with people who are changing their lives away from God's word, not following God's word, "for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and the destruction from them who knoweth it." We want to keep you away from that spiritual harm. We're protectors. I want to close this morning with one more proverb. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23, and the lesson will be yours. We're progenitors. We give life. But we need to remember, it's not just giving physical life. But when we give physical life, there is an image inside our children that is made in the image of God. And so we need to be giving them spiritual life as well. We're providers. We provide for physical needs, but we don't need to forget to provide for their spiritual needs. We're protectors. Yes, let's protect them from all physical harm that might come their way, but let's also protect them from spiritual harm. In Proverbs chapter 23, I'd like to read verses 15 through 25, and I'd like to ask this question right here. What makes a father truly happy? What makes us happy? Is it because our kids are smart and successful? Is that it? Is it because my kids have a lot of friends and they're popular and they have a social circle? Or my kids have a lot of things and they don't want for anything. They have the latest technology and I've been able to buy that for them and they've got the latest clothes. And that's what makes me happy. Is that it? No. What really makes a faithful father happy is that his children are faithful to the Lord. Turn with me to Proverbs 23 and verse 15 through verse 25, and then we'll close this morning. And I want you to look for two things in this passage. The fact that the father and the mother are happy, and what makes them is being right with God. Not the education and not the friends and not all the latest things that can be bought, but that they're right with God. Verse 15, Proverbs 23. My son, if thy heart be wise, my heart will be glad, even mine. You see that? When the son is wise according to God's word, that's what makes us happy. Yea, my heart will rejoice when thy lips, what? Speak right things. They're just simply speaking the way God wants them to speak. That's what makes us happy. Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of Jehovah all the day long. For surely there is a reward, and thy hope shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among gluttons, eaters of the flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not, yea, wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. You see that? It's not the father of the smart kid. It's not the father of the kid that's got a lot of things. It's not the father of the kid that has a lot of friends. It's the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. These other things are fine. There's nothing wrong with these other things. But what's important is that my child is righteous. And he that begetteth a wise child will have joy of him. Let thy father and thy mother be glad, and let her that bare thee rejoice. Why? Because my children are right. Because I've been providing, not just for their physical life, but for their spiritual life. And I've been giving them not just physical life, but spiritual life and the spiritual needs. And I've not just been protecting them from physical harm, but I've also been protecting them from spiritual harm. And they're growing up, and they're right with God, and that's what makes me happy. Well, the lesson is yours. That's what the world needs, I believe, most. There are a lot of things that this world needs. At the top of the list is faithful fathers. If you're here this morning and you had a faithful father, you're here no doubt because of him. And, of course, we're not leaving the mother out. That's the subject of another lesson. We want to focus on fathers this morning. If your father is faithful and he's still living, you might want to give him a call while you can. One day he won't be living. He'll be gone. But you know what? Most likely he'll be living on in you. Faith of our fathers. And I want you to look at that last verse again. Open up in your psalm books and look at that third verse of faithful fathers. The verse talks about how that we're going to influence friend or foe. And then it says, with kindly words for a virtuous life. That's what we're shooting for. We're shooting for being a father who raises children to have a virtuous life. And we've got to be there in order to do that. And if it's the selfishness and the laziness and whatever it is that we need to set aside, let's do that. So that we can stay in there all the way to the end and give them what they need. It's really a matter of fearing God. Putting God first in my life as a father. And then these other things will be the outgrowth of that. There are those here this morning who are living virtuous lives because of the faith of their father. And we want the same in our children. What a great thing to think about. What a great blessing and privilege God has given us in our children. And let's give back to Him those virtuous lives as best we can. There may be someone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel. There may be someone here this morning as an erring child of God. Maybe we haven't been the father that we've needed to be, and we need to come back and make those changes. It's never too late to come back and be what we need to be. Tell our children that we're coming back. We're going to be at services. We're going to turn our life around. We're going to be right with God. Forgive me of the wrong of being absent. Forgive me of wanting to just simply go off and live my own life, and I want to come back and be a part. I want to provide those things that God wants for you. I want to live up to my responsibilities and be a faithful father. If you're subject in any way, why don't you come as we stand and sing?